Our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of John. I will be reading chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 and 19 through 28. A man named John was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him everyone would believe in the light. He himself wasn't the light, but his mission was to testify concerning the light. This is John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him, "Who are you?" John confessed. He didn't deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" John said, "I'm not." "Are you the prophet?" John answered, "No." They asked, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied, "I am a voice crying out in the wilderness, 'Make the Lord's path straight,' just as the prophet Isaiah said." Those sent by the Pharisees asked, "Why do you baptize if you aren't the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered, "I baptize with water. Someone greater stands among you whom you don't recognize. He comes after me. I'm not worthy to untie his sandal straps." This encounter took place across the Jordan in Bethany, where John was baptizing. This is the word of God for the people of God. Okay, it might sound a little familiar. You remember last week we had John the Baptist? Well, this week it's a different John the Baptist, same person, but this is to show you that each gospel writer saw things in a different light at times. For John, John was not John the Baptist. John was John the Witness, John the Testifier. John was the one to testify to the coming of the light that was to come into the world. Now, this is the day of joy, so we need some smiles on faces, because it seems like we're not ever going to get this joy out into this world unless we find it right in here, right? Right. So we have to start finding this joy within ourselves so that we can bring it out into the world. And we live, like we say, in very busy lives. And we also listen to lots of different newscasts and lots of different things on TVs. And sometimes we just get so overwhelmed by the darkness, we wonder if we will ever feel or see that light again. A little disappointed that the sun's not coming in today, but I know it's there because I know what I believe, and I believe that there is a sun behind those clouds, and that sun will come out and there will be light. I'll tell you, it's really interesting when I started to read this because, you know, we always think of God and Jesus saying they are called I Am. So it was so interesting for John the Baptist, John the Testifier, to be answering all his questions. I'll tell you who I'm not. I'm not the Christ. I'm not Elijah. I am just a voice. Someone God had chosen, and we all know that he was born right before Jesus. He is the cousin of Jesus. And you know, in today's day and age, if this was all written again, you would probably have John saying, "Well, let me tell you, my mother was old. She wasn't supposed to have a baby. And my father couldn't talk until I was born because he wouldn't believe the angel." But none of that was important in this story. All John wants them to know is, "I am here to testify to the light." All that other stuff isn't important. The only thing in John's life was to make the path straight for people to find hope in their lives and peace in their lives and to share that light of Jesus Christ in the world. Now, this morning, Ron took me down that other basement down there. A basement that Pastor Don would even take me down. But we were looking for the light. We were looking for the candles to use on Christmas Eve. But I just thought as I carefully went down the steps and he found a switch downstairs to turn the light on for us, dear God, don't let me fall down these steps because I already fell in the balcony. So I thought one more set of steps to fall down in this church, and then maybe I'll find out that God didn't call me here after all. But what we were looking for was the light so that we could share that light on Christmas Eve. But we want to share more than those candles that people will hand in their hands, grab onto in that night when we sing Silent Night. We want to be able to share the light that is in our lives each and every day. You see, John talked about his identity being a voice. And I don't know if you all know this, but you don't have to show your hands, but how many are members of the United Methodist Church? I am. I've been since I was 12 years old. Okay. Well, when you take your membership vows in front of the church, it used to say that you would, give in prayer and attendance and in monetary ways. But not until 2008 did they add the word witness, that I would be a witness to the light in the world. I thought that was very interesting that it took us till 2008 to understand how important our witness of Jesus Christ is in this world. That when we became a member of a church, that it was all, it seemed, inside the church. And there's so much that needs to be taken care of outside the church. I always say that we come here on Sunday mornings to fill up, get that cup filled, to run over. Because once we're overrun by that joy and that light, and it's not a simple joy and light, like this happiness you feel when you get a new Mazda or, a new SUV or whatever it is you like to get. That brings you happiness, something that can go away. But it's the joy. And this is what John the Baptist is talking about today in this light. We need this time of Advent to search deep for that light of joy within our lives. We need to bring that out, not only in this season, but all seasons. Now, a lot of people talk all the time in churches about, oh, I wish the church was filled again. And I wish that, I love when everybody sings together and I can hear the voices blended together up here. That's what we love, right? When you have a lot of people come together. But the world has changed since those times. The world has changed that there's so many people working on Sundays. If you remember back, you have to remember back about everything that was back in those times. I mean, a lot of women were stay-at-home mothers. A lot of people didn't work on Sundays. A lot of kids weren't made to play sports on Sunday. And we can say what we want to say about, well, they don't have to play sports on Sunday. But there are families that can't afford to send their kids to college, so they need scholarships. And if they won't practice on Sunday, they're not allowed to play in the game. They're not allowed. There's always something. There's always something that takes away. But something else that I think sometimes happens is we as a church, forget to testify that there is a light beyond all that. There's a way sometimes to get around some of the things. Like, I worked at the phone company for years, and I had one gentleman, I was the head of the clerks in the maintenance department, and I had one gentleman said, I will not be in on Sundays. But there were other people that didn't go to church that took the Sundays for him. So we have to find ways as Christians to come together, to be together, to make that light bright enough for other people to see. And we also need to make it bright enough in our light. We need to ask ourselves, are you a John? Are you a witness? Has not God called you to testify to those around you, to the light that we're about to celebrate on Christmas, but also about to welcome back when he comes again? But we are called specifically to be witnesses to this light. John made his life so in tune with Jesus that he said that we wouldn't recognize John without Jesus in his story. We know that the Bible tells us John was out in the wilderness with his honey and his cloth, his loincloth. And that's all to point back to him being a prophet. because that's how the prophets were. And the locusts and the honey were always talked about in the promised land. And also the locusts and honey were to show that God provided everything he needed. But we have to ask ourselves in this time, this season, when we have an opportunity, use Christmas as an excuse. I mean, you walk around your neighborhood and you see beautiful Christmas trees lit up, and you might run into a neighbor on the street and they say, oh, isn't that tree beautiful? Well, that's how my life is all year round because I have Jesus Christ in it. But we're sometimes afraid to say that, aren't we? Sometimes we don't want to offend somebody, or sometimes we don't want to push ourselves on somebody. But that's not pushing yourself on anybody. You're just speaking the truth. That I have that light in my life all year round because I have the light of Christ in my life. And that's the way simple little remarks like that spark some hope in people. Like, oh, I've never thought about the Christmas tree and the light of Jesus. I just thought it was a pretty decoration. And it isn't it gorgeous how we prepare to light up the nativity set over here? Each and every character in the story that we read brought the light of Jesus into the world. We can't expect the light to get the world to get any brighter if we're not willing to share our light. We have to share our light in order to brighten this world. And then when you share your light and you're more comfortable sharing your light and even more comfortable sharing your light, then I think we'll see the church is filled again. Because sometimes people feel like the church is no different than the world, that they're going to come here and, you know, just sit here for an hour and not smile. Not one of you are smiling. Where is the joy that you find in your heart? See, we need smiles on our face when we're with each other. We need to give each other smiles on our face so that we can take them out in the world. It's okay to be happy in church. I just want to let you know that. It's okay to have that joy. It's okay to laugh in church. You know, darkness is...
It's good to have fun in church.
It's good to have fun in church, Bill says. Yes, it is good to have fun in church because this is a place, if you can't find joy here, you're lost. I can just tell you that right now. If you can't find joy and fun and happiness and wisdom here, together as Christians, you're not going to find it in the world.
Place out there in the cemetery.
Oh, you belong in that place out there in the cemetery. Bill's ready to bust 6 foot under. But talk about darkness. I live in Sweetwater, and I guess there were about 6 months when I decided to take a walk at nighttime. I never realized how dark my street was. I literally could not find my way home.
Flashlight?
No, I did not. But I will tell you how I found my way home. I knew if I walked straight down the street, I would wind up in the Mullica River. So I knew only to go so far down the street. But as you go down the street, there's one circle, but as you get halfway around that circle, there's another circle, and then it comes back out and comes back on the street, back down to my house. Well, that's where I was lost, on those two little circles. And when I first moved there 30 years ago now, a lot of people only lived there in the summertime. They didn't live there year-round like they do now. So there were no lights on in the house. And I will tell you, I went up 4 driveways before I found out I wasn't on the street that I needed to be on to get myself home. And I was getting very concerned that I was going to be there until morning unless Frank came out to find me. Because I literally could not find my way home. I'm not exaggerating. And all of a sudden, I saw a light in somebody's window. And I said, oh, that's on the main street. I remember that house had a light on when I came out. And I followed the light in that window, and it got me back to the main street, which got me back home to my house. Never went out without a flashlight again. But I'm very serious. It was a scary feeling being in that darkness and seeing the same thing over and getting all the way up somebody's driveway before I realized that there was a house there and I wasn't on the main road. And that darkness, I'll never forget. But when I saw that window with the light, I could not see that window anymore. And I think you understand what I mean. Do you know when you walk in a dark room at night, maybe get up in the middle of the night, like we all need to do sometime, and you can't really find your way at first, but all of a sudden you feel that you can see because there's a spark of light that came in from somewhere or a memory that how to get through the house. People, that's how Jesus Christ is in our life. Once Jesus' light comes into your life, you can't unsee it. It'll guide you for your whole entire life. You cannot unsee that light that Christ puts in your life. That's how blessed we are as people of Jesus. That he has given us a light that sometimes may feel dim, sometimes may feel hopeless. But I will tell you, as a witness and a testimony as John the Baptist, there were times in my life when I thought, I don't need Jesus anymore because I was hurting so bad. But Jesus wouldn't let me alone. Jesus kept reminding me when I would go to bed at night to pray. And I would be, for what, you know? And Jesus just kept being there. He just kept being there. And that's how I got in this pulpit today, because he wouldn't leave me alone. Because once I found the light of Jesus in my life, I could never not see it. That's why so many people need that light in their life, because they're going to go through hard times. And we have to be that voice in the wilderness, that voice willing to maybe feel a little embarrassed if we talk to someone that we're not sure wants to hear. Because the story you have is a story that's life-saving. So in this time of Advent, in this time of joy, our pink candle for joy, I ask that today you all leave with that smile of Jesus on your face. Don't worry about this church. It's going to be okay. Don't worry about the Church of Jesus Christ. It's going to be okay. Let us just be glad and rejoice in it. In God's name. Amen. Amen.